And without further ado, bringing this morning's message, one of our eldership, why don't you welcome Lance Thayer.
Good morning. Hey, I've been told that last time I spoke I said sorry too much, so I'm going to say sorry once. I'm going to say sorry that I'm probably going to talk too long. And that's it. Okay, let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, help. Help us to speak, help us to hear, and help us to act on your word. Amen. Now listen, if you were here in January, you're going to say to me, hey, I heard some of what you said today last time, and it's true. And I was saying, Lord, I can't do that. But you know, everything I wrote down when I was preparing for this message, when I got my old notes, I went, there's a lot that's the same. And that's just the way it is. And I thought, and in the prayer room earlier, Doris was praying. She said, it's quite funny, made me laugh. She said, you know, Lord, when you've got something to say, you just keep saying it until we get it. Or words to that effect. I went, all right, that's fine. That's what's going to happen. Look, you know that when I speak, there's a lot of Bible, but I'm also aware that I've got a lot to say. But I don't actually care about what I've got to say, because I know that at some point today, no matter what I say, the Lord is going to speak to you about you. And that's all I care about. So if you don't remember anything I say, that's fine. And in fact, if all I do is stand up here and make words for a period of time so the Lord can speak to you about your circumstances, that'll be just fine too. What I'm about to say could be regarded as being a hard word. I think I've developed a reputation for hard words. But you know, I thought about it. It's not a hard word. It's a come on word. It's a, the Lord is just saying to us like he did earlier in the worship, just come on and rest in me and it's going to be okay. You know, take my word, put it into place, act on it, it'll be okay. End of story. Don't try and work it out, just trust me. It's a come on word. There's more to come. We've heard so much about that. There's more to come. So, let's go. Last time I spoke on holiness. Today we're going to speak on holiness and the new thing. Now, I'm not going to tell you what the new thing is, but I know this for a fact, the Lord's preparing us for a new thing. It hadn't come yet, and it won't until we're ready. And my heart and my desire is for us to be ready. And so I've said always that, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so, you know, I keep saying to people, read the word, read the word, read the word, read the word, read the word. And I don't care what you've got to say, and I don't care what the prophets are saying, unless it's lining up with the word of God. And I'll talk more about that later. So read it. And if you don't understand it, read it again. And if you don't understand it, read it out loud and pray. And you will expect God to reveal that understanding to you, because it says so in the word. In Corinthians, it's the next one. I hope. There it is. No, that's not the one I wanted. But that's okay. We'll run with that. Because you can't get what God's trying to talk to you about unless you're reading his word. And you won't get your mind sorted out and your head sorted out unless you've actually got the Holy Spirit interpreting God's holy word for you. And if you're not reading God's word, where are you going to get it from? Let's go to the next. We so easily slip into the world's way of thinking. It's not so bad. The world view says, you know, do it this way. And the Lord says, no, do it that way. I said before, I'm not going to say sorry anymore. But if I'm blunt or offend some of you today, please understand that is not my intent. It's just that I'm an elder of this church. Not because I put my hand up for the job. It's just what I happen to be. It's my job. And I have a responsibility to admonish, to teach, and to encourage. And that's what I want to do today. You see, the gifts that the Lord gave to the church, they're listed up there. I'm a teacher. I don't claim to have any of the other gifts. So I'm going to try and give you something that comes out of the Word today. And if I offend you, please go and check it out first in the Word. And don't come argue with me until you have. There's a verse that runs along those lines, which is next. And you've seen this one before. You know, Paul and Silas preached a lot, or taught a lot, but rather than argue with them, the people of Berea went away and had a look in the Bible and said, is that right? Is that right? And so, look, we all know there's a reason why you're on the earth, and for some of you, you know, there's more than one, obviously, but it's coming up. But, you know, the Lord still has something for you to do, even you, Pam. The Lord still has something for you to do because you're on the earth. If you're on the earth, the Lord's got something for you to do. And the Lord intends for what you do to last once you've gone past the earth. I've got Pastor Pete. You, Mr. T, Pastor Pete, call him what you like. I always call him Pastor Pete because to me that's who he was. You know, what he did and the legacy he set up is going to last. You see it in his family. You see it in the work he's done. And you'll see it for years to come. And so we know Jeremiah 29:11 says, you know, I've got plans for you, plans to prosper you. You call on me and come and pray to me and I'll listen to you, says the Lord. And then he says, you'll seek me and find you when you seek me with all your heart. And can I just emphasise those last four words? It says there, with all your heart, not with part of your heart, not with, you know, I'll take the good and leave the bad, not with, I'll take the good word and leave the other word. It doesn't work that way. It's your whole heart. Rest. It's okay. Dad's got it. You know, and we all desperately want to know. We want to know what's planned for my life and what's the will of God. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's in the Scriptures, and the Scriptures say that the will of God for your life is holiness and sanctification, being turned and modelled into a saint in the likeness of Christ. Thessalonians, it's the will of God that you should be consecrated, separated, set apart for pure and holy living, that you should abstain and shrink back from all sexual vice. And that's tough in today's world because everything you look at, if you're a bloke, and blokes are visually stimulated, everything you look at, almost, it's got something to do with sex. But see, if you set aside those things and you don't set aside what God wants you to do, then the Spirit who is within you and has called you to be holy will help you as you make it your ambition to live a quiet and peaceful life and to follow the Lord. And so absolutely more important than any of our other decisions is your relationship with Jesus, and your life is actually about your personal relationship with God and nothing else, except your corporate walk with the Lord, and that involves the house that you're in. Doesn't matter who you marry, doesn't matter what job you've got, doesn't matter what university you go to, doesn't matter whether you're successful in the world's eyes or not. It only really matters what God thinks, and God thinks you're special, but you also, I need also to say, Lord, I know I'm special, and because I'm special, I'm going to walk in that before you. And holiness is the mark of every true Christian, and so we're exhorted next to strive to live in peace with everybody. We've probably got it there already, yes. And to pursue consecration and holiness, without which none of us will ever see the Lord. So it's fundamental to our walk. Okay, so look, the last time I preached, I said I didn't preach the message I wanted to preach. And I still haven't. But this one and the last one are precursors to the next. The Lord's doing something with us. But the reason I couldn't preach the last message was because nothing wrong with the message, at least in my opinion. But my heart was wrong. And there's the key. Where's your heart in all of this? My heart was wrong. And this message and many others that you've been hearing have been brewing for some time. The fact that there is more to come and that there is this new thing that the Lord is going to do, and we haven't seen it yet. You know, we've heard that he intends to extend our influence, which is amazing, really, because if you look at the size of this church, stuff we've got to be involved in over the years is amazing. And it's way beyond what we would do if You know, it was up to us. It's been consistently preached through 2017 and even more lately that we've been called to work worthy of the call that may not be up there, and to fan into flame and stir up the gift within us. And the question I have come to ponder on a lot is the preparation and the communication done? Are we ready for the new thing? And I don't think we are. And I've spoken to my fellow elders about it, and there's no doubt that something's up in the spirit, no doubt at all. But it seems to me there's still a delay, and we're still not where we want to be. And you know, that includes all the miracles and all the signs and all the wonders that we have seen and we want to see. And it's pretty simple, really, because we're not Jesus. It's pretty simple, really, because those things are not Jesus. They're only because of Jesus. And they're only possible in Jesus in order to point to Jesus. And I said this before, so don't be deceived. If you chase the manifestations without Jesus, you will be deceived. And if you want to check that one out, look at Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8, around verse 18. He thought he could buy the laying on of hands and the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Really? You think God works that way? Don't chase the manifestations. Don't chase the gifts. Don't chase any of that stuff. Chase Jesus. The rest of it will come. And so I said last time, that includes all the gifts and all the callings, which are irrevocable. And that's probably up there. There you go. The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable because God's not an Indian giver. But there are many gifted Christians that are blocked in their gifting and their true potential. And so it's not revealed and it hasn't come to pass. And worse still, some have crashed and burned badly. Pat and Cedi comes to mind. Youth Alive one day, before the courts the next. And I'm not picking on him because I know I've been there. And I'm not where I want to be yet either. But praise the Lord, I'm also not where I was. And so there's lots of prayer and promise and prophecy over this church and this congregation, which is yet to come to pass. But the tide is rising. It is. And the question remains for each of us, are we going to rise with it or are we going to drown? There just has to be fruit. There has to be fruit pertaining to godliness, fruit of holiness in all of us, and we need to work towards that before we can expect the Lord to share us with all the other good things. Having said that, it's amazing he does. He's so good. Look, the bottom line is it's all about Jesus. He's the main game. He's the main prize. And the slide a little bit before, which I think I got up early, says, find your worth in Jesus, not in things of the world. And can I say this? Not even in the gifts of God. Find your worth in Jesus, not the things of the world and not even the gifts of God. Because your worth is not in whether you're a teacher or a preacher or a pastor or a prophet. Your worth in Jesus is because he died for you, loves you, has a plan, has a purpose. All the other stuff is just the icing on the cake. Everything else is sideshow. I said that before. It's all designed to point to Jesus. And you know what? This is anything that is not centered in Jesus is sin for the Christian. Because it's walking this way. When the Lord says, walk that way. Do you hear what I'm saying? And it might be good. And it might be, you know, that you get praised for it. And men praise you, and they will. And it may be you get promoted for it. And it may be that you make some money out of it. But if it's not centered in Jesus, it's sin for you. Because you know what you should be doing. Not chasing all this other stuff. Jesus said he'd look after the other stuff. At the end of the day, as Jason has reminded us this morning, it's actually the gift, the real gift, is him, and through him, you know, we talk about the hell thing. Don't like talking about the hell thing. We're not going to hell, praise the Lord, because he's given us a gift, which is good. So why do I spend all my time chasing all the other stuff? So this new thing, we've had it, Isaiah 43. Pastor Fred bought some more on it the other day. I just said that if it's not in Jesus, it's sin for the Christian. Bottom line is there's still sin in the camp. Still sin in my life and yours. I just laugh when we sit down and have communion, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. You know, we say if anybody drinks unworthily, of course you drink unworthily. You know, the only reason that you have the right to eat and drink at communion is because Jesus has covered you for it. If you were worthy, you wouldn't need to have communion to remind you that you're not. Does that make any sense? Of course we're unworthy. It's just recognising that you're unworthy. And they're still sitting in the camp, and we don't like to have to admit that. You know, I mean, even though, you know, so I'm teaching today, so I dress up for it, right? You know, I want to look right. We do all that, don't we? We want to look right. And Jesus doesn't care whether you look right. He wants to know whether your heart's right. The bottom line is, you know, there's murmuring in the camp, even in this camp. I'll tell you what it sounds like. The music's too loud. The music's too soft. The songs are not right or theologically correct. You're sitting in my seat. You can't wear that to church. He's wearing a hat to church. I wish he had a shower before he came to church. The aircon's too hot, the aircon's too cold. Why don't they do something about it? As I said, unconfessed, unresolved, unrepentant, unbound, undisclosed, sin remains in the camp. Next. This is Isaiah 58, just on from Isaiah 43. The Lord says, when you call, the Lord will answer. When you cry, he will say, here I am. If you take away from your midst the yoke of oppression, wherever you find them, and the finger pointed in scorn towards the oppressed or the godly. Ouch. I hear that. Ouch. Because why don't they do something about it? You know what that really says, don't you? I'm right, you're wrong. Ouch. And the Lord says, if you will stop, and every form of false and harsh and unjust, wicked speaking. And it gets worse. We go to Isaiah 43, which is next. And it says, you've not bought me your sheep and goats for burnt offerings or honoured me with your sacrifices. I've not required of you to serve with an offering or treated you as a slave by demanding tribute or wearied you with offering incense. This is the Lord speaking. You have not bought me sweet cane with money nor satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have only burdened me with your sins. You've wearied me with your iniquities. And you know, it just needs to be dealt with. It just needs to be revealed and dealt with. This is not supposed to be a hard message. This is a come on. The Lord has promised good to me. So what's my problem? needs to be revealed and dealt with. It's been our prayer as elders for some time now, and man, it hurts me. I'm proud. I don't like admitting I'm wrong. I don't like it. And I'm not saying these things that I mentioned before, you know, that we made light of, are not of some importance. And I'm not saying it's okay to, you know, fix them. I'm not saying they're not worthy of comment, but my question and response is, what can you do to be a help rather than a hindrance? Because that's the way the Lord works. Not what will they do about it, what can I do to be helpful? That's how he works with us. That's how, and he models. So next, in 2 Timothy it says, oh, there you go. No, put it back. That was there for a reason. I'm a sinner too. I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching at me. That's why I don't like being up here. It hurts. And, you know, you'll recognise this guy. He's been interestingly proclaimed as the world's best rugby player lately. Just happens to be preaching Jesus as well. Some people don't like it. Moving on. If you cleanse yourself from these things, me, I shall be a vessel of honour, sanctified and useful to the Master, prepared for every good work. So, flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, hope, peace. Along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. That's all of us. It's a clarion call to holiness, a clarion call to walking with the Lord. Full stop. And I said this before too, to use the Old Testament language, this is to follow the Lord wholeheartedly. If you read through Kings, you'll find there are lots of kings and it says, and he followed the Lord. And then I'll finish the sentence by saying, but not wholeheartedly. He still did, or he left that undone, or he didn't do that. I want to be the kind of person who follows the Lord wholeheartedly. I want that mark of distinction. You see it occasionally in the old kings, and he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And very often it says afterwards, and then the Lord gave him peace on every side and prospered him. It's funny, isn't it? We want to have the peace on every side and we want to be prospered, but we don't want to have to follow wholeheartedly. I don't, but I have to. I've got to change my heart. Lord, change my heart. Now, you know, at this point, you already know I'm talking to myself. And I'm talking to you, church. I'm not talking to the unbeliever amongst us today, if that happens to be the case. This is not about the unbelieving sinner. It's about the sinner saved by grace. See, the unbelieving sinner doesn't have a holiness problem. He has a sin problem. So don't tell him to stop wearing his hat. Don't tell him to have a shower. Don't tell him he can't wear that to church. It doesn't matter if he doesn't know Jesus. It doesn't matter. He doesn't have a holiness problem. I do. We do. He just has a sin problem. He has a faith problem. You know, because Hebrews 11:6 says you can't please God without faith. Our job as believers is to walk in holiness and introduce him to Jesus. Not tell him to get his hair cut. You hear what I'm saying? Those of us, I'm talking to me and those of us to whom Jesus called, as he did to Philip, follow me. I think that's up there. Maybe. Maybe not. Okay, we'll do this one. He just said, follow Jesus. And this is the Jesus we're supposed to follow, the Jesus of Nazareth, who God appointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, that he went about doing good and healing all of those who are oppressed by the devil. That's what we do. We follow Jesus. And now Paul says through the next verse in Philippians, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust, serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking back from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. And you know what that means? That means don't justify it. Don't justify it. Just don't do it. That's what it means. Shrink back. And now Jesus talking again in Luke. You know, nothing can be so covered up that will not be revealed. Nothing can be so hidden that will not be known. Whatever you've spoken in darkness will be heard and listened to in the light. Whatever you've whispered in people's ears, don't tell anybody about this behind closed doors, will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I tell your friends, don't dread and don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, after which there's nothing more they can do. I warn you, whom you should fear, fear him, who after killing has the power to hurl you into hell. Yes, fear him. It's just a perspective thing. Do I care more about what you think about me? Or do I care more about what he thinks about me? Do I care more about what my workmates think about me? I tell you what my workmates think about me. They think I'm nuts. They see me every morning. I get out of the car. The first thing I do is I walk the boundaries of my office and I pray. Why do I do that? Because I don't want to do it on my own. I don't. You think, so what, you're just an accountant? Yeah, I know. You know how many mistakes an accountant can make in tax? You know what that can cost you if you get it wrong? I just go, help, Lord, and I pray around my boundaries. I also pray for the salvation, restoration, deliverance and healing of all my staff, every client, every supplier. Because I expect that God's going to do something. Then in that verse in Luke, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Crowd was listening in. He's talking to me. This is basically what he's saying. Next slide. Pinch this from Israel as well. Yeah, repent. You know, we talk about repentance to the unsaved. We talk about repentance to those that aren't saved. And absolutely that's right. Because they have a problem with God. They haven't accepted him. We have a problem too. And we need to repent daily. Take up your cross, follow me, says the Lord. Take up your cross, follow me. It's not good enough to go, oh, you know, I'm a Christian, therefore whatever I do is okay. It's not good enough for the teacher to stand up here or the preacher to say, look, whatever I'm preaching from here is the word of God. It's not good enough for the prophet to get up and say, thus saith the Lord, and expect you to swallow every word. It's only good enough when that person says, read it, check it out, test it, see if it's right. And then live by it, according to the word of the Lord. All right, it's not all doom and gloom. It's not. This comes with love. It comes with promise. Proverbs says, you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. That's all your ways. And he'll make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes, Lance. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. It'll be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Love that. Love that. You know, I love the promises. I just don't like the bits I've got to do to get them. Honour the Lord from your wealth. Ouch. From the first fruits of your produce. Ouch. So your barns will be filled with plenty. I like that. And your vats will overflow with new wine. I like that. Son, don't reject the discipline of the Lord. Oh, ouch. Or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. See, it's not all doom and gloom. It's just, come on, there's more. Come on, you can do better. And it's not in your own strength, and I'll get to that. But, you know, let's put some legs on this. King David didn't always get it right, right? Understatement, didn't always get it right. Yet Psalm 41, he says this, as for me, you uphold me in my integrity and you set me in your presence forever. You know, he understands Hebrews 4:16, you can just wander into the throne of grace boldly. David understood that, but he, you know, he says, you uphold me in my integrity, and you think, my goodness, you know, where did he get that from? Because he didn't get it right. So how did he achieve this? He achieved it by confessing and being real. You get that, don't you? Psalm 51, he confessed and was real. So here's the next slide. You can be fake, you can be phony, or you can be real. David was real. Next slide. He says, look, I acknowledge my sin to you, Lord, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord. Continually unfolding the past until it is all told. And then you instantly forgave the guilt of iniquity of my sin. Ah, oh, I like thinking about that. And in John 1, it says, if we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he's faithful and just, so to his nature, he'll forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so it's an ongoing process. And going back to that, everything, you know, for the Christian, everything not in conformity to his will, thought, and purpose, that's unrighteousness. And then James says, confess one to another your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offences, your sins. Pray for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of heart and mind, because the earnest prayer of a righteous man has tremendous power to make dynamic, and is dynamic in its working. You know, Pam said this is a safe place. I love that. It actually means that if you go to your brother or your sister and you confess your sins and they pray for you, it's a safe place, it's okay, it's all done, it's under the blood, end of story. Never to be brought up again. Not by us, nor anybody else, and certainly not by God. Because he says, I put them aside. But they only get put aside when you admit them. And I don't know about you, but I have to admit them every day. It's called humility. David actually walked in humility. Because this one, this is pretty harsh. If we say we have no sin, refusing to admit we're sinners, we delude ourselves, lead ourselves astray, and the truth which the gospel presents is not in us, does not dwell in our hearts. We're talking again to Christians. So how does this all relate to the new thing which we all want to get onto? Well, care and context, people. Let me put something in context. You know, one of the verses that I love, and I'm sure you've heard it, is that, you know, my God will supply all your needs. You know that one? Love that. And we love to say, this is the reality of it, and I can, you know, I can stand on that, you know. But it's not in context. That verse is not in context. Unless you've actually read the whole chapter. And why did Paul say that my God? He said, and my God. You see, it's the end of a thing, you know? And this is the end of it. My God will supply your need. Why did he say that? Because they had been sacrificially giving to help other people. You get it? It's not just, I can have all the blessings, but I can't do any of the work. It doesn't work that way. So putting it into context, this new thing. Test your heart. This is the issue of checking and covering and staying covered. People have always said to me, you know, if you're in a church and you don't agree with the leader, what do you do about it? Because I've been there. And sometimes I'm still there. I say, well, I pray for them and me. Then I go and talk to them. And if they haven't changed their mind, I do as I'm told. And you go, well, how can you do that? Well, you see, it's not my problem anymore. I've followed the biblical principles. Not my problem anymore. It's now Dad's problem. And if the leader or the pastor or the preacher or the teacher or the elder doesn't get it yet, I keep praying for them. Because that's all I am called to do. That's all I'm called to do. But I am under their covering. So I tell them. But I still do as I'm told, because now it's God's problem. And now God can deal with them. That's why I pray for them. Not about my position. Not about my gifting. Not about nobody recognises me. I just laugh when I see some of your elders putting the rubbish out and moving the tables and chairs whilst others talk around and sit and have a cup of coffee. Mind you, I love having sit and have a cup of coffee, don't get me wrong. Because it's where your heart is. If Philippians says, don't do anything from factional motives through contentiousness, strife, selfishness. Let each of us esteem and look upon and be concerned, not merely with our own interests, but also those of the interests of others. Let this same attitude and purpose and my humble mind be in you, which was in Jesus Christ. Follow Jesus. Let him be your example. Follow Jesus. Philippians 2, therefore, my dear ones, as you've always obeyed my suggestions, says Paul, as one of the leaders of the church, so now, not only with the enthusiasm that you would show if I was there in my presence, but much more because I'm not. You know, work it out, cultivate it, your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling and self-distrust. We went through that. Okay, number two, don't be a critic. This new thing of God may not look like you want it to look like, may not be what you expected, and it may not, you know, because part of it's about us really, isn't it? It's about where we're at. Don't be a critic. Anybody can make a point, but you want to be the person who makes a difference. Yeah, don't make a point, make a difference. Do I pray good for them? Former friends, former leaders. Man, that hurts. I've got four guys that I, you know, for me it's like, you know, they were my good friend who I trusted, that we supped together. You know, four guys who either left me in the lurch or cost me a lot of money or whatever. And the Lord says, yep, pray for them. I don't want to, because they don't deserve it. And the Lord goes, yeah, and you do. You know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So I started praying for them. Lord, I'm doing this out of obedience. Bless them. Lord, bless the work of their hands, their health, their wealth, every wholesome enterprise they undertake. It's exactly the same prayer I pray for you, whom I love. Oh, it's much easier to pray for you than it is to pray for them. It's about my heart. Don't criticise too early. You know, Jesus hung around with some really unusual people. What's he doing with those people? They're prostitutes and sinners. Yeah, well, prostitutes and sinners need Jesus too. And perhaps we need him more. We said Jeremiah 11, you know, the Lord has a plan and purpose for you. What are you here for? Tell you what I want to be here for. This is what I'm asking the Lord for. More of this. I want to be here for Jesus and for those that love him and seek him. I want to stand up with guys like Israel when they tell the truth and everybody else derides them. I want to stand up for you guys. I pray for you guys. I want to be more like Jesus. Next one. And you can't do it in your own strength, you know. 6 o'clock in the morning prayer meeting here. Some of my brothers do it really well. I'm not a morning person. I'm really not. Getting up at 5-something to be at church at 6-something to pray for you guys is not easy for me. I'd rather we had it 10 o'clock at night. Much better time for it. Do it in my own strength, I can't. You know, my deal with the Lord is this, Lord, you wake me up refreshed in the morning, I'll go to prayer. And you know how often that happens? It's staggering. I wake up. Sometimes I wake up and I think, oh, I won't go, and the Lord says, I wake you up, you go and do it. Yeah, okay. Not in my own strength. Take responsibility for yourself, guys. What they're doing, it's not your problem. What you're doing is your problem. It's that you have to answer to the Lord for, not what they're doing. It's not your problem. And then, as this new move comes, don't be naive, but innocent. Don't be naive, be innocent. Test the prophets. You know, we've had people in this church, some of you will remember. We had an absolute charlatan one Saturday in this church telling us all about how you could make, you know, $1 million overnight by giving to the Lord through his ministry. Some of you remember that. And the leadership of the church shut him down, even though they'd paid to rent the place. And you know, the tragedy of that was we were proud of ourselves for shutting him down because he was wrong and we were right. But we didn't pray because our heart was wrong. We didn't pray for those he was leading astray. We didn't pray for him. And so the Lord said to us, "What are you gloating over? Your hypocrisy and your arrogance and your pride makes me throw up." You see the difference? We've had things sent to us from various parts, from various missions that we're involved with. You know, here's a photo of someone who was healed of this and that, the other thing, and there is no proof, and sometimes it's just a fraud. Sometimes it's real. But don't just accept it because someone said it happened. Don't repeat it. Check it. If it's real, it can be checked and verified. Nothing Jesus did, nothing the apostles did, that you couldn't verify and check. Don't be naive. And if you come down for prayer sometimes and someone prophesies over you, hold it lightly. If it's the word of the Lord, it will come to pass in time. See, I've got one here. Oh, I must rush, hey? No, that's not the one. It was a leader's thing that we had in 2004, 13 years ago. It said, went something like this: "Lance, I see you as a wheel with spokes, and the heart's okay, but the spokes, some of them are a bit broken and wonky. But the Lord's going to work on those and it's going to be all right." They actually mentioned things like marriage, relationships, business, finance. That's the usual stuff. So hold that lightly. But, you know, I look back on it and I go, yeah, it was 13 years ago, but I tell you what, it's all come true. Still working on my heart. But the Lord's been working on those other things too. So know your Bible. Know your Bible. You know, we had an Indian preacher here once who came in. He had a board over here. He says, "Oh, let me tell you where heaven is." Do you remember that? "It's over here." And really? We shut him down too. Why? Nonsense. Who cares? Doesn't matter. Even if he was right. And he wasn't. Know your Bible. Know your Bible. If you're not reading it, how can you check whether this stuff is right, wrong, or otherwise? How can you check if I'm right, wrong, or otherwise? Okay, the Jesus test. Where does Jesus fit into all this? Every spirit that confesses, sorry, not every spirit that confesses is a spirit of God. But the spirit that's from God will confess God to man, not man to God. I said to you before, the main game is Jesus. Don't get sidelined. Don't go for the froth and bubble. Okay. Next. Study your Bible. Know it. And I've talked long enough. Probably gone way over time. I'm not going to have an altar call. Sometimes I think we have too many. But that's the Lord's problem, not mine. I am going to say this. Please, please. When this new thing comes, as it is coming, and it looks a bit different to what you expected, don't criticise. Be part of the answer, not part of the problem. Pray. Know your word. Check. Hey? Get some wise counsel. Don't get caught up with the froth and bubble. There will be some. Don't get caught up with the healings and the manifestations of the glory of the God. There will be some. Don't get sidetracked by this other stuff that comes with it. Please, stay with Jesus. Stay with Jesus. Know your Bible. Test. Check. And in the meantime, get yourself right with God. Please. Stop pretending. And stop pointing the finger. It's not about them. It's about us. It's about me. And stay covered. So many people, they've got all that wrong. And so you walk away. Play your own church. Or don't go at all. As though that fixes anything or helps anybody. And is that what Jesus would do? Father God, it's done. Bless your people. Lord God, I pray. Bless your people. Let them know you, love you, trust you, and help me to emulate that. In Jesus' name.